Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course you are in tune to our weekly broadcast of New Day. And we certainly welcome you to this segment of New Day. We thank you for tuning in. And of course, we have a lot of good information for you tonight, as usual. And before we give you that rundown, I want to just share some other kind of thoughts with you. Check this out. And yes, greetings, greetings. And of course, that was none other than the great Bob Marley, So Jah Says. And so What do we say? What do we do? Well, that time has come, family. Needless to say, the time has come upon us that we're going to really now see who is who, as I've been saying. I mean, it's becoming more and more evident, and with that, we're really going to see what folks are going to do now. A lot of talk over the years, and there'll be more talk in the coming years, but definitely there's going to be some real action. I can tell you that. Well, thank you again for tuning in to this segment of New Day. Of course, tonight we're going to do kind of what we call a pre-salute to Black veterans. You know, again, when we talk about the Recharge Genocide 21 Project and the movement for Black human rights, of course, there are 21 areas, minimally, but definitely 21 areas that we're focusing on. And while we often, of course, focus on police and governmental terrorism, political prisoners, gentrification, inferior education, certainly those are a few of the 21, but one of them is also justice for our veterans, our Black veterans. And, of course, we're talking about from the Civil War era to present day. Of course, present day and recent days, because we can literally talk with some of them. And so that's what we're looking to do as we move forward to get ready for the Recharge Genocide Summit for next year. That'll be in Washington, D.C. We're getting ready to start accumulating and documenting statements and reports and testimonies, again, with Black veterans, those who served, of course, in Vietnam in particular, of course, Gulf War, Afghanistan, et cetera. We want to hear some of the reports, and also from the older veterans too, from, you know, those that we can connect with from the World War I and II era and so forth. We want to hear about the racism, about the treatment of our Black men and women who were in the service. And of course, we're going to be bringing more information to you as we proceed with talking more about the case of Private First Class Lavina Johnson, who, of course, was murdered while serving in Iraq under not only suspicious situation, but what we know is definitely something that has to be investigated further, brought out, and so forth, based on the autopsy, the second autopsy that her father, her family, had done that proved, you know, that something certainly heinous happened to their daughter, to this young Black woman who I think was maybe 21, 22 years of age. At any rate, we're going to be giving you more information about that very soon as we move forward to formulate the cadre of Black veterans who really get what we're talking about with Recharge Genocide. They're going to have their own collective, their own reports that they will put together, their own presentations and so forth. And so we're going to tell you again more about that a little later on. Speaking of second autopsies, we're going to also talk with our sister, Tawanda Jones, who's going to be joining us shortly. And again, you know, to be able to cite our people who literally not only fight for justice for their loved ones, but for all of us, really. And we have to make sure that we continue to support and highlight those kinds of things. You know, I often say that for sisters in particular, we created a cadre for MWM that we call the Mothers, Daughters, Sisters of the Movement. And so this coming year, we're going to do a special thing. We wanted to do it this year, but it wasn't time yet because of the COVID. It's still, you know, still a little touchy right now. But hopefully next year, we'll be able to do the things that we had wanted to do in the past few years. And that will, of course, include the Mothers, Daughters, Sisters of the Movement, you know, tribute and also conference, because we want to highlight real Black women that really, you know, genuinely have been and are involved in real justice and liberation type of work. Not the camera stuff, you know, I got to jump out here and, you know, see, you know, anyway, y'all get the point. So we're going to be doing that in 2022 along with our 25-year anniversary. At any rate, let's get ready to go to our live line. We haven't talked with our sister in a while, and so she is joining us tonight. We're talking about Sister Tawanda Jones, one of our warrior queens. And, you know, I hope to see her this coming Wednesday. We're looking at going to D.C. to support the students at Howard University. Yep, that's what we're talking about. You know, that's the kind of stuff that people used to really do. And I mean, I'm not talking about the media hounds. I'm not talking about the people who jump out because of the camera and, you know, they need that hype stuff. No. People used to literally go, and some still do, by the way, but, you know, nowadays it's kind of hard to, you know, figure out who is who anymore. But that time is also beginning to, you know, get into a different modality where the clarity is going to be even more than 2020 and 2021. But at any rate, we haven't talked to our sister Tawanda in a while, at least not on New Day. And certainly it's good to have her with us to get the Be More update. And also we're going to talk about some current events. You know, there's a bunch of stuff going on all over the country. I mentioned the students protesting at Howard. You know, you would think, and I'm going to talk to Sister Tawanda about this and family, want to open it up for you as well. You would think with the millions of dollars that have now been donated to Howard University that the students would not be complaining, or not just complaining, wouldn't be going through what they're going through with the kind of living conditions that has been reported. I mean, this makes no sense at all. And if you can't take care of the students, then what the hell are you doing? Oh, we know. But we'll get back to that later. Anyway, let's go to our live line. And by the way, veterans, we're going to do an open mic for you. Those of you who are Black veterans and you want to share some information, share some stories or whatever, we want to get you ready, because we'll be heading out to the Midwest in a couple of weeks. We'll be formulating our Recharge Genocide 21 cadres in Detroit and Chicago, and also preparing to put the organizing, the coordinating committees together for the MWM25. Yep, we call it the resurrection. Oh, yeah, y'all get ready. We've learned a lot, and best believe we are ready. So without further ado, let's go to our live line, and let's talk with our sister Tawanda Jones. Let's see what's going on in Be More, and also get some other kinds of points of views. Hold on 1 minute. Sister Tawanda, do we have you here? Uh-oh. Okay, there you go. We got you now. Hey, sis, what's going on?
Hey, sis, how are you?
Oh, you know, doing what we do and loving it.
I know that's right. Well, thank you for having me on tonight. I definitely appreciate you and all the hard work you're doing. So definitely a big shout out.
Oh, yep. Good thanks. Good thanks. Well, you know, I wouldn't have it any other kind of way. Some of us are here specifically to do this work. And, you know, those that are, we get it. We get it as hard as all get out sometimes, but nevertheless, you know, we are fully committed and we'll, you know, again, from the cradle to the grave, that's the way it is. So, you know, it's all good.
Amen. Got that right. Yeah, so pretty much what's going on in Be More.
Oh, my
gosh. What's not going on? It's too much, like, you can't, it's just so hard to even talk about it because there's a lot going on. Like, I don't even really know where to begin. But, you know, I could start off by saying that, you know, the Doug and Pony Show continue. We have these Black politicians that play like they care. And as soon as they cross over into Poopy Hole, you know, which is City Hole, you know, they forget their promises. They forget they even know you. It's sad and disgusting. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is, you know. So just moving right on, you know, it's just a lot of people being murdered right now in my city. The homicide rate is skyrocketing high because they got these so-called quote-unquote numbers that they want to actually, you know, meet before the end of the year type of thing at our own, you know, dispenser. You know, and it's just sad, like nobody, well, I'm not going to say nobody's safe because a lot of people are safe in our cities, but a lot of black, let's be clear, a lot of black folks are not safe. And it's just sad, like depending on where you live at with all the gentrification that's going on in my city, it's unreal. It's unreal. And it's like, you know, you'll ride past something that they force black folks out of, and then you ride back past there another week, then I rebuild a whole house limb. You're like, what the hell just happened? Like, are you kidding me? And so it's totally real. But with the homicide rate and, you know, with the police brutality, and unfortunately, I always bring up my sister who I didn't want to welcome into this club when her brother was murdered, and her brother Timothy Fleming was murdered right in front of his children in his home for, you know, seriously, like for a medical case where as though they just needed, you know, medical treatment type of thing. And normally every time, it's almost every time when someone's going through a mental health crisis and a medical call is placed on their behalf, they're executed. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But pretty much what's going on is this West Wednesday, and I'm praying that I get to see your beautiful face because I know you always in the place, you know, trying to support stuff. And I'm glad that you're going out to D.C. And hopefully if you, you know, get to make it to B-More, please come by. I'm going to send you the information because I'm going to actually, unfortunately, be in front of the home that ultimately where my brother pretty much was murdered. And when I say brother, because when any of these brothers are murdered in cold blood, they belong to us, like literally.
Yes,
you know, he's not my biological brother, but just like my brother Tyrone West was murdered, you know, he became the community brother, just like Timothy Fleming, unfortunately. But now what we're trying to do is just so sad because I get choked up every time I hear about the neighborhood my brother was murdered at, right? It's real traumatizing to me, but to know that his children still reside in that home, and it's horrible. Like, nobody deserves to be treated as such. And do you know to this day, sis, her brother was murdered, like, months ago. They still have not released the autopsy report. It's still sitting on Marilyn Mosby's desk. And that's why when she had a chat and chew, two weeks ago, and there was a virtual thing online, and you know while they were playing that damn Doug and Pony show, and then they had certain people that qualified to be inside of the meeting, you know, and then the rest was via Zoom and all that good stuff. We were outside, and it was just so interesting that they tried to send this house Negro to come talk to a Caucasian fellow that was helping set up. And, you know, he's talking about me and my protest. And I'm like, hold up. He's like, I'm giving you a warning. What's going on? And the guy, which I call him Uncle Bill, he's telling him, look, this is the sister Tyrone. You know, she does this every, you know, you need to be talking to her. And I'm like, yes, you do. You need to be talking to me. He like, I don't want to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you ain't got to talk to me. You're fine. Because I'm staying here and I ain't going nowhere. And I said, since you want to be smart, I'm going to put you on blast. And I put my phone on Facebook Live and, you know, I just went off and, you know, but it was just sad. But the whole interesting part is we were not only out there for my brother Tyrone West, we were out there for Timothy Fleming, who still family needs that autopsy report. And it's just early similar to what happened to my family. And they waited to the most. Which any time to give somebody an autopsy report is not a good time because it's heartbreaking. But they waited near the holiday time when nobody was looking, and I'm thinking that's what they might try to pull out their pocket this time because they waited literally 3 days before Christmas to break my family freaking heart. And I'm glad you mentioned the second autopsy report that I had dug up out of my purse and dug up the money. I didn't do a GoFundMe or anything. Thank God I had access, but it wiped my whole account out. But I had to do what I had to do because you're not going to lie when you got the medical examiner's office. In case folks don't know what I'm talking about, my brother was actually beat to death in broad daylight on Kentmore and Kelsway Avenue, literally on July 18th, 2013. And he was the first officer or murderer that started killing my brother was in an unmarked car, and he was a part of the Gun Trace Task Force. His name was Killer Ruiz, and he was the first one to target my brother. And in case anybody don't know about the Elite Gun Trace Task Force, they were actually going around setting, and I still think it's still happening because you're not going to tell me you arrest nine people that's doing the utmost corruption, worldwide type of corruption, movie-wide type of corruption, and it's just supposed to be over after these nine jokers get locked up. We must be crazy if we feed into that foolishness. But for the mere fact that these so-called officers were actually targeting black folks, planting drugs on them, robbing them, killing them, murdering, raping people, like doing the most utterly, like, most things you can't even imagine, the unthinkable, pretty much. And they started murdering my brother. They pulled in an additional, altogether total of 17 killer cops that beat one unarmed man, tased them, pepper sprayed them, and broad daylight video footage. But the reason why I want the world to know what I'm saying is because right now, the Gun Trace Task Force, you know that one of the books, they already wrote a book about, because two different authors covered the story about the Gun Trace Task Force. And I urge everybody to go and get the book called I Got a Monster. It's real. It mentions Detective Studer, who was also murdered in cold blood by his own, you know, and it gets so real that the detective that was investigating Detective Suter's murder, which they try to say that he committed suicide after they put up a $236,000 ransom for information, and they kept saying it was a black guy running from the scene with a white striped jacket on. This was a part of the Gun Trace Task Force, and he was supposed to testify literally within 24 hours, and they wiped him out. God knows what he would have said. Who knows who would have went under the bus, but they literally said that, oh, you know what? He tried to kill it. He killed himself, literally. But yet, you know, the whole scene wasn't right. The whole scene speaks for itself, but they quickly, they got the family to cremate his body, but yet they said he was buried at such and such cemetery, the funeral, all this stuff, and then a reporter unraveled that wasn't true. A reporter that I know gave facts that when they went to go and question about where Detective Cedar was buried, then they came back and said, oh, well, no, he wasn't buried there, so you guys blocked off all of Ricestown Road and all this stuff for what? Like, you can't make this stuff up. But then they set it up so good that the fact that when he was executed with his own weapon, they actually, his partner that he had that would go out to him, with him everywhere, they sent that apart. They sent his partner to a whole nother scene, sis, a whole nother scene, set him up and got him murdered. And then, and the crazy part, the white cop that I believe that did it, that was actively working with him that day, like literally, you know, normally like when an officer is murdered, you know, they get a quick response about how they travel to the hospital, you know, like it wasn't a call. Yeah. So like normally they get on their CB and talk. No, he didn't get on a CB or nothing and call it in. He goes and get his cell phone and do a conversation. And then all the cameras that they got to watch everything, oh, of course all the videos are gone, just like in my brother case when my brother was murdered. They know exactly what they're doing. They set it up to make it fit, but pretty much the so-called alleged partner put Detective Suter's body inside the car, got the car crashed up, leading more times when you got a head wound. You know, that's crucial. You should have been flown to the hospital, whatever which way. And the hospital was like 2 to 3 minutes away from where he was murdered at, you know. And just like with my brother, he was murdered, but yet they take him, it takes them 30 minutes to get to a hospital that's 3 minutes around the corner. Good Sam, like really? Like, they think people are stupid, but the reason why I'm saying all this, I just found out from one of the witnesses that saw my brother's brutal execution said that the HBO that's doing a film about the Gun Trace Task Force was actually doing it on the same block where my brother was murdered, the exact same spot where my brother was killed in 2013. Like, are you freaking kidding me? And then it even went down to, like, where Freddie Gray was killed. But, again, why wasn't my family notified? That's really interesting. So I can't wait to see this HBO special to see, you know, what's really good. But it's just bogus. But meanwhile, with West Wednesday, we're going to definitely, unfortunately, this week, we're going to be at the location in which my brother Timothy, which is my sister's brother Angela, mm-hmm. or brother Timothy Fleming, he was executed. So I'll send you the address. And we're going to go because right now we're trying to do a current fundraiser to get up money. Just, and we're not trying to get thousands of dollars. We just want to get enough to get them out of that house. Like, we're not even asking for that much. Like, and I'll share. And if it's okay with you, sis, can I share my sister's Cash App information, please? Yeah, anyone that want to donate, and please, any amount is fine. Like, if you got a dollar, and just like, and sister, and I apologize in advance with the $2. I be wanting to send my $2 on Tuesday, but when I say it's hard robbing Peter to PayPal, and you say it in negative, people be sending me $2. But anyway, I got you when I get right. But nevertheless, you can send whatever amount, and this is for Timothy Fleming, to have his children removed from this home that they're traumatized. Like, they got to live through this. But her Cash App information is $ is Big Angie 23, but I'm going to spell it, $BIGANGIE 23. So any type of support is totally appreciated, any type. More than $5, $10, whatever, because literally right now, we're just trying to scrape up, like, you know, security problems. We're not trying to buy them a house. We're just trying to actually scrape up money to get them out of that house, you know? Yeah. And they deserve to be up out of that house. Yeah, that's just unreal, like, so. And just to talk about West Wednesday, too, like, a couple weeks ago, we had Ron Davis on West Wednesday online, and pretty much whoever don't know who Ron Davis is, he's the father of Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis was actually executed just for playing loud music, literally. But thank God in his son case that, you know, they gave him, like, he got life plus. So that's the first time. That's unprecedented. So I'm glad that happened, and we need to see all of these killers. And as I think about, you know, what's going on with the different trials that's coming up, I want to also talk about the Michael Bryan trial that's going on. McMichael and Bryan were pretty much the murderers that took, you know, Ahmaud Arbery's life. Like, literally, you can't jog through, and the things that they did to him is horrible. But I don't want to, because normally people always are saying, oh, well, let's talk about Ahmaud Arbery. Ahmaud Arbery's not on trial. Let's be clear. Let's call these white killers out. Let's stick it to the killer's name, because let's be crystal clear. If Ahmaud Arbery killed anyone, they would not be calling out the victim name. They'd be calling his name and showing his face. Let's not let these devils get off with nothing. And literally, because you take somebody's life, that's not an act of God to me. You are a devil. Mm-hmm. So pretty much the McMichael Bryan case is getting funky already, because they were allowed to pick damn near all white jurors except for one black person. Mm. Let's be clear. And then recently I found out, because thank God to my friend Ron Davis that I spoke of, he was able to reach out to, you know, Ahmaud Arbery's mom and show support to them and love, and, you know, just being there, being supportive to that family, you know, because as a father losing his son, he knew what it meant. His son wasn't killed by police. He was killed by somebody that want to become that feel like, okay, I could be a police. You know what I'm saying? Or got police ties, and they know all they got to do is say somebody fear for their life, because that's how these killers, cops, get off from lynching us, modern day lynching. And that's what these jokers decide to do to her son. But for me to learn about the stuff that happened to him, like, the news don't never tell you everything that like happened. And for me to find out that they were like, they're like in like day two or three of the testimonies, but to find out that his mom has actually sat there, to find out that one of the shotgun blasts almost blew his arm off, literally. You know, his arm was torn nearly completely off by the shotgun. And then his torso was ripped open by a buckshot level off at a point blank range. This was a lynching. Let's call a lynching a lynching. This was a lynching. And she got to go through and listen to that while they go in the courtroom and play like, oh, they care and they don't give a damn. Like, let's be clear, they don't give a damn. And this is cool, and they know that they either not going to get no time at all or, you know, get off on it. And then, you know, they wind up, and I hope they don't get off on this, because I think about how Trayvon Martin was actually murdered, and then Zimmerman got to sell a damn gun. He auctioned, they stick like they purging, just like the purge. But so they get off on that kind of stuff. They get completely off. And another thing that's happening national, sis, I don't know if you heard about it, but I want to get the correct spell another sister name. Give me 1 second, because I want to make sure. Okay, so I don't know if you heard about the sister name. Her name is Sabrina. I can't even see her last name, but I know her first name is Sabrina. And pretty much all five of her children this happened in St. Louis. And pretty much all five of her children were pretty much caught in a house fire. Like, literally, like, she left to go get her boyfriend from work. And she didn't leave the children in there by themselves. Like, she left them with her parents. And the grandparents had to actually jump out of the window to try to escape. And when she got there, the house was still blazing. So she did what she could to try to, you know, save the babies. And she had, like, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old. Yeah. She had a set of twins, girls. One name was Heaven. And they were 8 years old, and then they had a big brother. Her name was Dante, that was 9 years old. But all five beautiful babies died from this horrible apartment fire in East St. Louis. But the horrible part, do you know that they're trying to charge the mother with felonies? Are you freaking kidding me? They are trying to charge this mother with felonies. And we know that if this was a white, if Sabrina was Susie, let's be clear, they would be sending fundraiser money and all this, and yet they're trying to charge this queen for her children. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Charge her for these felonies? I'm like, well, I don't even, and I'm not even going to jump out there and say it's a felony associated with the house fire, but to actually take a mother that lost all of her babies in a freaking house fire and try to charge her with anything. So I want to say, I don't know exactly what the felony charges she's facing, but for them to do that at a horrible time like this is disgusting. It's disgusting. So I just like, there's just so much happening around the world. We can't keep up with this stuff. It's so much. It's so much. Like, but just imagine you lose all your children in a house fire, and then the devil doesn't try to charge you. Like, that's utterly sad and ridiculous. So,
See, you know what, my sister, this is why, again, I'm encouraging and really, really putting it out there that Black women have got to step it up. And what I mean by that is it is so obvious that the attack on us now is like, you know, just – it has escalated to the degree where if we do not begin to start responding back in some kind of way, I'm just really like, do folks really understand what's getting ready to happen? Because the most vulnerable ones in our communities are going to be the first ones who get this second wave of whatever this madness is of this system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. It's already happening. You know, we got reports in this past week of like 3, 4, 5 different incidents with Black women and or girls, you know, directly, specifically. And folks are not saying anything hardly about it. That's the real frightening. I mean, even less than it used to be. Okay, it is getting just doubly worse than even before. Wasn't that much being said about things before? But now, it is just really getting out of hand. And again, there's not a lot of black men who are speaking out and saying anything. And so these white folks are like, y'all don't care? Well, wonderful. We're just going to up the ante and do even more, you know, to just humiliate, exploit. Yes.
Yes. And somebody just sent me the Sister Queen name. Her name is Sabrina Dunnigan, and she's from Illinois.
Okay.
Like, that is fair. Like, they need to Google that out because, like,
Illinois? What city, Sister Tawanda? Because we're going to Illinois. We'll be in Chicago on the 21st and 22nd.
See, I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure because everything, like, I'm just learning about this horrible tragedy. But I know that the horrible fire happened in the apartment in East St. Louis. So I'm not sure, but I know she's from Illinois. But that is, like, horrible.
Okay.
But as I get more information, I'll definitely share. But I have a
What is the name again?
Her name is, and I'm going to send it to you as we're speaking.
Okay.
I'm ready to text it to you so that way you can have it. But wait a minute. Let me look at the name again. Wait a minute. It is. Hold on. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull it back up again. Dunnigan. D-U-N-I-G-A-N. Yep.
Okay. Got it. All right. I'll look it up also and see what I can find. But, wow. See, again, this is why I've been telling sisters, we have got to start looking at being well organized on a national level.
So it pretty much, it happened on St. Louis Street in Illinois. So it did happen in Illinois. So, yeah,
okay.
It happened. I'm going to send you the article. So, yeah, I was, like, reading different clips of it, and I thought it actually happened in St. Louis, but it definitely happened in Illinois, but it happened on the street. The street name was St. Louis Street. And, so I'm sending you that article right now. But, again, like you said, that's why I love, like, since we embraced each other, and you always speak up for you are the one, the first black woman to get 1 million women together, 1 million plus, and nobody, like, has supported you. Like, I it's unreal. And it's just like, Malcolm X said, sisters, our sisters, we as women are the most disrespected, neglected, and unprotected in America. And I said America, but he said America, but in America. Because this is where we are murdered. Yes, in America. Let's be crystal clear. And I just sent you that article. Like, this is so this is, like, terrible.
This is what I know, and this is what others are going to know, too. We either are going to step it up, do what we're supposed to do, or pay the price. That's what's going to happen because the way this thing is going now, it's like it's not going to take any prisoners. It is going to hit whatever is getting ready to come. It's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard.
I shared a dream about you, and you were here in Baltimore. So it was funny. Some niggas were trying to talk to trash about you, and all I remember is bang, bang. That was funny. We kept rolling out.
I know that's right. Well, you know, we've gone through this cycle or going through this phase of development, and this is what I was telling folks when we started out tonight, is that we've learned a lot of wonderful lessons, and best believe we're going to respond now accordingly. That's why we're organizing in such a way that we can defend ourselves all across the board. Those black men who understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, they're either going to step up or step off.
I got some more hot news from B-More since we're talking about B-More. yellow. Be more cruddy. I got some more to add on to the be more cruddy list.
What?
The be more crud news. So anyway, so I meant to tell you, it almost slipped my mind. But then, so long story short, black women cops are being sexually and racially, man, it ain't even funny, God forgive me. And it's crazy because somebody had reached out to me from, and I was shocked, like, they didn't even know me, but I was shocked that somebody reached out from me from Baltimore City Police Department. I'm like, what the hell are they reaching out for me for? You know what I mean? Much as I talk about them gentlemen. Yes. And they was like, we know you advocate, you know, for your brother. You do a good job. But now they want to acknowledge my good job. But anyway, they hit me up like, you do a good job advocating. And, you know, we commend your work. We need you. If you could come out and help support us. They wanted me to support them. Yeah, on Friday that passed, so they was going to try to, they wanted me to lead a rally at City Hall. And I'm like, I'm like, wow, interesting. But what's going on right now, black women cops are suing Baltimore City Police Department for sexism and racism. And it was a sister named Jasmine. And she put a suit up on some of the officers, like, for sexual harassment. Why they put toy rats on her desk? They put toy rats on her desk trying to intimidate her, and she was called the B, and so she guessed, So guess where she explains that, the sexual harassment, and this happened at, Northeast District, and that's where my brother was killed. Okay, so now it makes sense. Now they want me to come help them. Well, why they ain't help me throw them names out there to kill my goddamn brother?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we've talked about in the past as well, Sister DeWanda, and that is how folks will do things once it happened to them. But other than that, they ain't trying to step up. I mean, this is about
They normally turn my back. That's why when I got sent that message, I just put the LOL, like, really? Wow, interesting. I kept it moving. Like, don't try to use my pain for your goddamn game. When I've been telling you they were sick psychos, what, you had to wait till they felt your butt before it got real? And I don't commend you. And don't get me wrong, I don't commend that type of behavior, because you know it's the same as women. Nobody should try to, like, sexually abuse us or, you know, none of that. Like, I don't condone that at all, but my thing is right and wrong is wrong. And when you see wrong, you say something. Don't wait till somebody squeeze your wheels or patch your bra up before you try to go out there. You should have been out there with me in the damn cold when I stood out there many cold, lonely days. And the crazy part, they were sending the house Negro sisters out there to tell me to move. I hope that ain't one of the ones that got sexually harassed, because I called them a couple house Negroes. I sure did. I don't got no filter. You know, I don't have no filter. I'm sorry.
I have a new word for you. Sister Manira came up with, we have another word to call Negroes, and she calls them Negropeans.
Yes, Negropeans, yes. Yeah, remember, I've been told you, like, 2 years ago, the boom was calling them Negropeans. Remember he was telling you about the Negropeans? We got the Negroes and the Negro band. I heard Boo say that like 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the Negro band.
Okay. Yeah,
all skin folks ain't all kin folks. You better believe
that. That's right. We're seeing it. It is no question. Listen, I'm going to tell you how deep this stuff has gotten now. Now, you know, when you see people that supposedly are, you know, I'm going to use the word conscious. I know that word has become controversial for some, but I'm using it because, I'm very familiar with the teaching of Stephen Biko, and that's what he talked about, black consciousness. So somebody else might be talking about it, but I'm talking about it from the perspective of a Stephen Biko. But anyway, it is so interesting to see how, you know, again, a lot of people that that I actually, you know, had respect for at some point, you know, and based on either their work or their position on certain things, but yet now they seem to be very, if not silent, definitely not saying very much when it comes to certain issues. Here's a perfect example. This past Monday, I believe it was, or Tuesday, there was a kind of gathering for Brother Russell Maroon Schultz. Now, Sister Tawanda, this brother had been incarcerated for 50 years. 50 years. And people have been fighting for 50 years for him to get released. Well, he was released last week. However, of course, he was released under the compassionate release doctrine or, you know, position because he's dying, right? So, so his family and others had a gathering for him here in Philly at Malcolm X Park, right? Okay. Interestingly enough, people that I thought would have been there to at least because they wanted to show their love. The brother, you know, wasn't there, but he was able to watch it. You know, they hooked it up so that he could see people there, right? I thought that thing would have been jam packed. Well, let me tell you, not. I'm like, wow. This is really, really interesting. And okay, you know, I know that sometimes people can't make it, you know, the different things and whatever, but it just seemed real strange to me that, you know, they know that this man only has, you know, according to the reports, he doesn't have very long. And to at least have sent a card or a message or whatever, you know, you can't come, okay, but you could have sent a message of love or something. I'm like, whoa, this is really deep, really deep. But it's showing, it's like I said, it's show and tell time.
But you said it, when you said that it don't hit them until it hits them, they don't get it until they get hit with it. That's when they get it. And then they want to react like, oh, my gosh, where's the support? But where was our support? If you would have been there supporting this one that maybe happened to your loved one. You get what I'm saying? They don't believe it's real until it happens to them, and it's just sad. Like I always say, and I regret, and I always say this, and I'm saying it from my heart because I'm a loving person, and whatever I do, and sometimes, like I say, don't judge my brain, judge my heart because I care. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm always really perfect, and my approach sometimes may seem wrong, but it's always coming from my heart. But I always said, I wish I would have saw somebody protesting like what I'm doing before my brother got killed, because I would have gotten out my car to see what they were talking about, and me and my brother both would have stood there and supported them. And then that would have made me aware of what was going on. Like, I used to just hear about this stuff or whatever, and then you might see a little bit of protest what the media want to show you on the news. But I never saw, like, nobody standing on the corner, and, you know, nobody never doing that. I never saw it.
Yeah.
And it's just that, like, I wish that I wouldn't have saw that. Like, I wish I would have saw that. Because that would have, like, made a real big difference. Like, it's just sad. It's disgusting. So, but it's like you say, it don't get real. It don't have to get real until it hit. Like, you don't have to become a victim before you know that it's real. Listen to your sisters and brothers and people when they tell you, oh, my son or somebody got hurt or whatever. Help them out. Like you say, even if you can't show up with your dollars. You know what I mean? Show up with a card. Show up with some kind words. You know, like you say, always got to be there. But you can send kind words. Treat somebody the way you want to be treated. That's what I teach my students every single day. That's the goal. When I ask my students at the end of the day, because I always tell them, we do our little saying that we wrap up our day with, and I always say, did you always tell them, no matter what, we're going to do our best. We start our day off. When they walk in my classroom, I say, hey, good morning. What you going to do today? My best, or whatever your best is good enough for me. And at the end of the day, I ask them, I say, how did you do your best? What did you do that was great? You know what I'm saying? Or what was, you know, your best part about your day? And they tell me, you know what I mean? And I feel like we all need to do that as teammates, do our best. Whatever you can do, do that. You know, however you can help somebody, help them. Instead of talking about somebody, we quick to talk about somebody and point fingers. And the ones that's talking about us, the old heads, the young heads, all that, they done did the same. Some of them did the same things, and they'll talk about a girl that got, like, 10 kids or whatever, or 10 different baby daddies, and they got 10 different baby daddies. I don't get it. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. Like, what? Like, instead of talking about somebody, help somebody. That's my thing.
Yeah, well, this is what I think is going to happen, my sister, and it, to me, it's kind of like past due, and what it is that this thing has gotten so ridiculous in terms of how we're treating each other or mistreating each other. You know, I think that the system has already created the purge, right, with this vaccine and the COVID and all that. This is the modern-day purge, y'all. This is not the one that you see in the movies, see? The one in the movies, they come out and show you themselves. Well, they got a biological purge going on right now. But the other purge I think that's going to happen is the kinds of things that's happening in our communities, the way we are, you know, this pettiness, this envy, this jealousy, the excessiveness of it. I think some of that's getting ready to get purged out too, you know. So, hey, it's going to be an interesting time in the next few years. I'm telling you, I'm seeing it. But sister, stay right there because I think we got somebody that wanted to chime in on what we're talking about. So caller, you are at 9498. At 9498, we're going to bring you in. And family, if you have some questions, comments that you want to share, by all means, you can feel free to press 1 and we'll bring you in as well. But 9498, your mic is now open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Can you hear me?
Brother Ray Ray.
Hey, Sister Filet, how you feel? Hello, Sister Tawanda.
Hello, Brother Ray Ray.
Hello, hello, Philadelphia.
Yeah, all right, my
brother.
All
right, Sister Tawanda,
wait a minute,
really.
You start, Brother Ray Ray, wait a minute. I was trying to get in on Wednesday.
I don't know what happened. I had I got to find out what happened with the sound. Maybe when I am setting up the program, maybe it's something I'm not. This is the first time it happened, so but we're gonna work on it. Don't worry, she'll be back.
Okay.
The genie is going to come the 17th. That's going to be a good one. He wants to support the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr.'s History Club. So we're going to bring him in the 17th. Along with after him, we're going to try to bring in Dr. Randy and a few other people. So we're trying to up the status of the Brooklyn William Mackey. So we have to, rebuilding. We're basically rebuilding. And we're going to see what happens with it. But we'll work on it. I don't know what happened because two other people said it. But Keisha was excellent. Family, you can view I'm going to put the lecture on YouTube under the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr.'s History Club. So it'll be on.
Right.
And then we had made a promise that you was going to come up, but we're working on it slowly but surely, as you know how it goes with people in our field, slowly but surely. Sister Tawanda, I really need your number. I have to ask, I want to ask you some information. You can text it to me if you don't want to put it over the air.
Look, they got everything. You ready for the number?
Well, you know, you ask. I always ask that question because I don't know what people like to do. That's the one in front.
So it's 443
uh-huh.
992
5647. 992-5647. Yep. Okay. All right. So, of course, I'm going to call you and ask you a couple of questions. I do go down to Baltimore with some 12-step people, if you know what I mean with that.
Okay,
I'll
that's what's up.
Yeah, so, but you're doing a good job down there. We basically working on giving you some support. You said that's on a Wednesday, so, when things wake up, you might get a car pulling up with some signs to help you out on that. So you're doing a lot of good work.
Because normally I advertise, because I found out if I advertise, 3 days before, they do sell. So what I've been trying to do is advertise, the same day on West Wednesday when I do a big online thing. But now it got me scared, because when I had Ron Davis on there, they blocked my whole Facebook account. We couldn't even go live on Facebook. We just had to go live on YouTube. And I asked everybody that's on here, please go to YouTube and hit hashtag West Wednesday. Like and subscribe to West Wednesday is one word, but hit the hashtag sign West Wednesday one word. You can see all our online productions.
Okay, good. All right. So that's West Wednesday on YouTube.
Yeah, hashtag with the hashtag sign West Wednesday on YouTube. So they be they be doing me dirty on Facebook.
Facebook is dirty. I've been promoting the book, The Ugly Side of Facebook. It's really, and I only read a few pages, but it's really, and to be honest with you, Facebook is disgusting, but I'm still having trouble putting, the Mackey's group videos on Our Black Truth. I tried and they said the last video of Mike Graves, part one and part two, the history of black culture, they said the video was too big. So I'm not understanding that. But you're doing a lot of good work. We just elected a new mayor here, and I was just putting on Facebook the picture is very interesting, because everybody behind Adams is Jews, and they got three Jews, three, four of them clapping their hand. And you got a lot of people that's out of work up here that's on furlough with this this slab mandate. So they won't be participating in any festivities for the holidays. So, I don't think he's going to make any major changes according to the information provided by me, but it's a lot of people that's really feeling the clutch, and I hope this thing dies down, but we're still coming out. They're going to have silent rallies next week instead of the noisy ones, so I don't know what that's about, but I will be there. The fight goes on, Sister Filet, Sister Tawanda, Keisha, the Mackey's group, and different individuals that yourself out there in Philly, and Darren Muhammad in Baltimore, and them places like that. But the fight goes on, and we do what we got to do, and we just try our best. And what else can you do? Because you really don't have to do it.
That's right.
You sacrifice every Wednesday, getting ready for the next Wednesday, Sister Filet, and we sacrifice every other Wednesday, Sister Tawanda, and everybody that comes on. This is how it goes, and we do what we got to do, and it's about information.
So I want to thank you for your information.
And all that. Thanks for your number. And
thank you,
Blog Talk Radio, just keep moving strong, and we go into the 22nd century again, but it's, like you said, it's going to get rough.
Because
they can say what they want to say, but these people got a well-orchestrated plan, and I got four grandkids, and there ain't no fight ready for them. They're going to put that stuff in them.
Yep.
We don't know really what's going to happen. And if the grown-ups are catching heart attacks, myocarditis, and all kind of serious problems with it, what do you think is going to happen to the children?
That's right. Yep.
That's
going to happen to the children.
Brother Ray Ray, before you leave, I just wanted to a quick sidebar, because we did observe Black Solidarity Day on Monday. Were you able to see anything happening in New York?
No, we did something else on the Monday. No, we went up to see the chairman. So we wasn't able to check things out. We checked on the chairman on Monday. So we was going all day. Me, Mike went to check on the chairman, and we didn't get a chance to see anything that was going on, and if they did anything on Fulton Street or anything like that. So
okay.
That's how that
worked. We did a little rally here in Philly. And it kicked off because we like to use Black Solidarity Day. We try to refrain from spending money as well, but also we use it as a day of action. You know, we use it as a day of action. What we did here in Philly, we started our petition for to demand Black history in the public schools. That's what we did on Monday.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we were out downtown, you know, getting folks to sign on the petition. At least it's an action. You know, we're not trying to uphold a public school system or anything like that, but what we know is thousands of our children are in these schools, and that's not going to change anytime soon. So at least what we can do is try to get some real Black history up in there, some classes,
curriculum.
And so that was the that was the action step that we did on Monday. And because Philly has an actual curriculum, it was done by an elder. He's an ancestor now. An educator, Dr. Ed Robinson. You can Google him. He has several videos on YouTube, and he was responsible, he and his brother, for putting out one of the first African-centered videos called Journey of the Songhai Princess. And they had a book called Journey of the Songhai People. Yeah, so there's a curriculum here. I mean, a well-structured curriculum that's already available, so there's no reason why the city of Philadelphia should not have in the public school system ample Black history taught in the school. So anyway, that's what we did on Monday. So we're going
I know they had
go ahead.
They had the Black Solidarity Day. They also had the city workers major protests down in on Monday, you know, so it was a lot of things going on, you know, because a lot of people were upset about this these mandates and all kind of stuff down there. So that's a lot of stuff going on, you know.
And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, family, about now that we've launched that campaign, we're going to see who in this city supports it. All these people be talking all this Black stuff and what we should do and all of that. Let's see who will even sign the gosh darn petition to get Black studies, Black history rather, in the public schools. That's going to tell us really clear story right there that you can't even put a signature down. See, this is the kind of stuff. I said, it's showtime now. It is showtime.
Well, they got a lot of stuff in the schools trying to put in for the LGBT and all that stuff. So, and they letting that ride in there like in full horses and everything. So,
like I said, we're going to get
promoting
that
petition
that
bad boy
out here. Well, we're going to get this petition out in Philly and going to pay close attention to what groups and organizations support it or create their own. I don't care. But at least make some effort, you know what I'm saying? Make some effort to get that in the school, because there at least there's some form of a weapon that the children will be able to use to navigate through this nonsense. They teaching all this other stuff, history, all this other stuff in there. They should have, and this is taxpayer dollars too, so they should have our history in there, given the fact that it's our people that helped build this country.
Right.
But we will now see. All right, my brother, thank you for your comment and all that you do.
All right, thank you. All right.
See you, Brother Ray Ray.
Okay, Sister Juan, thank you.
All right, family. So we're talking with Sister Tawanda Jones. Of course, that's our Be More hookup. But she knows she's all over. She's far beyond Baltimore, but that's her home base. And, of course, we were just talking with Brother Ray Ray up in the New York area. And, family, you can join us as well. You can push one, and we certainly would love to hear your comment. And by the way, we'd love to know what your comment is, family, about what I just said. Should Black history be taught in the public schools? Is they taught in your city? Well, this is a part of our We Charge Genocide position. Some people think that reparatory justice is about a check, writing check. Well, that is a part of it. But there's other things, too. There's some things that is, like, doable, like ASAP. One of those things is, of course, to at least begin to have reparatory justice put in a context that we can begin to utilize it for our improvement, upliftment, advancement, healing, etc. So when we go to the Midwest, we're going to Chicago and Detroit in a few weeks, Sister Tawanda, and one of the things that we are really putting out there as we move now with boots on the ground is some of the positions for the We Charge Genocide 21. And one of the positions is, we're going to see now who's supporting this, student loan debt needs to be rescinded. None of our people should be in any debt because of some student loans or have to owe or pay that stuff back. That needs to stop. It needs to be rescinded. It needs to be eliminated. Now, we know that the government and some other people are talking about student loan forgiveness. That's not, no, we ain't talking about no forgive nothing. They should have never had it in the first place. So certainly it needs to be eliminated. And the other word that we're utilizing, of course, is rescinded. It has to be removed. And the reason why we're saying that is not because of COVID or whatever situation. We're saying because of 400 plus years of human rights violations and 250 years of that being legal enslavement. Our children and the children to come should not have to deal with any kind of debt. And by the way, the other position is tuition-free education for the future. This has to be a demand. So for some, again, reparatory justice for them or reparations for them is, a check, getting some money. Well, yeah, we're down with that. But there's some other stuff that needs as well. We have 21 points, 21 areas that we're dealing with, and you just heard two of them. Okay? So Tawanda, what's going on with the public school system there in Bmore? What kind of, other than Black History Month, what kind of Black history are the students being, are they given there?
And it's like you said, it's nothing. It's just like, they need to, and it's crazy because I literally almost got in trouble at a meeting that we were at, and I was thinking they were just saying how they was getting ready to add the curriculum in about the LGBT or whatever it's called, and I just said, well, what about Black history, what can I teach my babies about Black history, and all that kind of stuff for the kindergartens and pre-K students and things of that nature. They like, well, you could tweak your lesson and da-da-da-da. And I literally almost got yelled at. I'm like, wow. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. So,
But we got to step it up. It's up to us. If we don't say anything, they're not going to do anything. I mean, they might not do anything if we say anything, but they definitely ain't going to do nothing if we ain't saying nothing. It's up
but
to
I give
us.
But I give a big shout out. I give a big shout out to the teachers union because they're actually fighting for all the stuff, you know, for the curriculum changes, and they the real kings and queens. I ain't lying. Like they do, I'm talking about major work. Like they put their whole entire life onto it. Yep. So they put their whole entire life onto it. Yep.
Well, it's a little different here, I'm going to tell you. It's a little different. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have, at least I haven't seen it, that kind of commitment. And particularly when it comes to the teaching of Black history in the public schools, because that's what we're really talking about. You know, we need to have that in our schools. Listen, these children are getting so much. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the main time that you hear is Black History Month. And you know, no, we deserve to have this as regular, just as regular as American history, because it is American history. All right. But it needs to be put in the context where it's not just slavery. You understand?
Exactly.
It needs to be the context of the inventions.
Exactly.
Right. The inventions, the contributions. Right.
All
of that.
It makes it just seem like every time you think about Black history, it's just like always bad slavery. A person like it's like we made America. Like all that greatness
should be
taught.
That's
not
absolutely.
Just the, you know, so that's what, so normally when it's my turn, so I definitely like teach my students, because when I ask any, and mostly all of my students are Caucasian or different, I maybe have like maybe four or five, matter of fact, I have six Black African-American students in my class and the rest are Caucasian or from a different race or whatever, but I make sure I teach all of them that, you know, when I ask all of them, you know, about Black history, they always say slaves, and it's always just negativity. But I teach them, no, I teach them heroes. I teach them stuff that, you know, they be so inquisitive about it. They're, like, wanting to know more and more, and they be going home telling their parents stuff, and their parents suspect, like, I'm so glad she turned that, because it used to be depressing for their parents. You get what I'm saying? They just always, because they say how they were taught, just everything about Black history was like negative. Like bring out all the good. It's a whole lot of good. It's more good for real. Be honest.
Well, I know one thing. Again, we better step it up, because if we don't fight to get whatever we can in these schools for our children, and again, I'm not one to promote no public school. I definitely am not. I look at us having our own. We need our own schools, our own curriculum, our own methodologies, all of that. But the fact of the matter is thousands of our children are in these public schools. So the least we can do is make sure that you know, some history, some real Black history that we want in there, not this stuff that they pick out. You know, all they want to talk about is George Washington Carver and Harriet Tubman and Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, that's the main stuff that they want to throw in there or put in there. Certainly is more Black history than that, and we need to be responsible enough to make sure that we get that information circulated in these schools. We got to do it. So, again, family, that's going to be one of the topics that we talk about very, very soon as we prepare for the summit for next year. And, by the way, we're getting ready to also formulate the pre-plebiscite committees, because that's going to be one of the features for the summit, to begin talking about and working on formulating pre-plebiscite sessions. So we'll be telling you more about that later on as well. Sister Tawana, when is the next election for Baltimore?
I'm not even sure, to be honest. I know it should be coming up soon, but I'm not sure, like, the dates and all that. I apologize. Because in my mind, thinking about, cause you know, we're about to get our hour back in the next 15 minutes. It's about to go back to 11 o'clock, I believe. I don't know when that's up, but I know we got to put in the clock back so we get our hour again, yes.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Well, they got that. I'm going to stick to the regular time for right now.
So the campaign I'm telling you about is off the subject, but a sidebar. But the campaign I was telling you earlier about, we trying to talk about supporting Marilyn Moses, like, support Marilyn Moses because she supported us. Like, really? What? She supported who? She supported who?
By the way, again, sisters, come March, and we're working on it, and we'll have more information very soon. We're working on our first Million Woman Party, y'all. See, people talk stuff. Mm-hmm. But when it's time to really put the stuff together, as I said, we are now going to see. Well, we've been working on this for a couple of years. But our first national convention is going to happen in Vegas, Sister Tawana. Remember I was asking about Vegas?
Yeah.
We've been working on this. Absolutely. We were just kind of waiting, you know, again, to see how the COVID thing was playing out. Uh-huh. But it does look like we're going to be going to Vegas in March for our first Black Women's Political Convention, Million Woman Party, y'all. And I'm saying this because, as Tawana just mentioned, you know, we talk about these politicksters and what they're doing or what they're not doing, but at the same time, are we recruiting, training, getting ready our own candidates? And again, I'm not one to advocate voting and all of that, but I do advocate being able to play whatever game that needs to be played, or whatever you want to call it. And right now, if the Democratic Party or the Republican Party doesn't put these people out there, then what else are we talking about? Who else are we talking about? How else are we talking about putting our own people in these positions? And I just saw it happen here in Philly on two different occasions. The sheriff now for Philadelphia is a sister, is a female, black female. And I'm telling you, the Democratic Party hated her, Sister Tawanda. They had endorsed another person. And she just came, she ran her own campaign. She put her own money up, and she won. She ran on the Democratic ticket, too. But the Democratic Party didn't support her at all.
Mm.
And she won. So I looked at that and I'm like, wow. And I mean, you know, I'm not saying that she's a whole lot better, but she definitely was better than the one that the Democratic Party was trying to put back in. That's for sure.
I know that's
and
right.
And then the other, yeah, and then the other one that won here, running on the Democratic ticket, the Democratic Party didn't back her either, another black woman. In fact, she's the first black woman to become the Register of Wills. See, these are offices that a lot of people don't even think about, but these are real positions. And the Register of Wills is really a very important position because this is where properties and other things get messed up at, lost, shift over, and all kinds of stuff. And with gentrification, like you mentioned, Sister Tawanda, with gentrification going on, if you don't know something about some of that stuff, you should listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so again, we have to learn how to play this game a little different. The national stuff, you know, that to me is pretty much a waste of time. But the local stuff, so again, family, for those who talk stuff, I want to know what your plan is. That's right. I hear naysayers, I hear a whole bunch of other yak, but I don't hear no plan.
just a whole bunch of talk.
I know that's right.
We're telling people, put up or shut up. That's what they need to do.
I know.
Put up or shut up. One way or the other. You know?
I know that's right. I wanted to ask you something because it's an interesting thing that's happening in my city right now. So pretty much it's this thing where they're saying that, well, it's happening, but people are taking the ATM machines out of stores. They're actually crashing into the stores and literally jacking the ATM machines on like chains and pulling them out like. They hit the stores like every week, like 2 to 3 times a week. I'm like,
wow.
Are they doing that in Philly? I'm doing like a little quick mic check. Are they doing it in Philly?
They did it during the rebellion, like, you know, during the time of when folks was out in the street for George Floyd, and then the other one here for I think it was named Walter. They did that a couple. Yeah, they took a couple of them ATMs out, but that, you know, that kind of dissipated after last year. It was only for like a couple of months, but yeah, they were doing it.
They've been doing it. They've been doing it like since the beginning of the year. They going in strong, and they normally,
wow,
like I told you, they was taking them on the outside, but now they done stepped their game up, crashing into the stores. Like to the gas stations where they know they had on different little convenience stores, crashing and getting in and out on camera within 2 seconds. Like, not 2 seconds, but a few minutes or whatever. So,
right. Wow.
And that sounds, to me, that's not like the popo. That's what that sounds like to me. I'm going to be honest. That sounds like the popo to me. That sounds like the gun trace tape too.
You know, and that reminds me. That reminds me, you know, they got this thing, and I know they got it there as well, sister, because this is a national plan. You know, all this gun violence, this talk about gun violence and blah, blah, blah. And I was at a meeting the other day, and one of the topics for the meeting was, what can we do about the gun violence in our community? And I just sat there and looked at people like, what year is this? Because I could have sworn, you know, I remember years ago, you know, when my brothers was in gangs, the big deal then was gun violence, right? I mean, this is years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's different today because there's more guns. But the point that I was raising to the folks in their dialogue here last week was, why is it that no one asks where is the guns coming from?
Right.
Why is it that these anti-violence groups and organizations talk about the violence in our community but never raise the question about how they're getting here? Why don't we have all these poppy stores in our community? Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
How come in most black communities, your corner store ain't somebody that look like you?
Right. Right.
So while folks is talking all about the gun violence in our community, I'm wondering who is talking about how you think they're getting here, how, where you think they're being stashed at, and so forth.
Exactly.
Okay. No, they don't want to touch that. Because, see, that right there, that's dangerous. It's easier
to
say, we're killing each other, y'all. We need to stop the violence. We need to, and this is what they do. Turn your gun in. You can get some groceries or a couple of dollars. Turn your gun in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are y'all serious? Really? So this is why, family, again, for those of you who got the e-blast, what you saw was we're saluting our black veterans, but we're also recruiting them, those that are interested, because we know very clearly that years ago that there were brothers in particular who served in the armed forces who came back home and did stuff in their community. To the degree where they literally form different things in the community to improve the community and also to help better protect the community. Where is it at now?
And so we're asking our veterans to begin to think more about doing things in our communities that is going to be relevant to today. When we talk about police reform, Sister Tawanda, which I know you and I aren't, but I'm just saying people are talking about police reform, or what are they calling it? Are they calling it police reform? I know they call it police something. What's the operative word? It is reform. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we know that is, you know, a good conversation, and right now it's kind of a buzz thing. But let's kind of think about this in another kind of innovative way. For example, again, we have brothers and sisters who have served in the military who are now home. So why can't we start talking more about having our own community security kinds of apparatuses in our community with people who have the training and care about our communities? What about that?
Exactly.
How about that as some alternative or as an extra or, you know, whatever you want to call it? This is the kind of dialogue that I think we need to be having in our communities, not just, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, police. And now there's one of those things I do like, and that is that police should have their own insurance policies so that if something happens, they have to pay.
I
do like that one. Yeah, I do like that one. That's a good one. Yeah. So, and these are some of the things, again, that we'll be really talking more about when we do our Black Women's Convention, Women Women Party. We're literally going to create an agenda. And the agenda is going to, we're going to vote. We are going to vote on what we want to see on the agenda. So that in the future, when these politicians are running, we will have a platform. We're getting ready to poll some of them on their position on certain things. What is their position on reparations? We need to know that. We need to see that in writing. We don't need to guess. We don't need to surmise. We need to ask the question as an organized body, what is your position on reparatory justice? Yay or nay?
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be documented and recorded. This is how we have now got to proceed in what we're doing. Because, you know, again, a lot of conversation is good. It definitely inspires. It definitely educates. It edifies and informs. But we've got to take some direct action now. So, again, as we proceed with the We Charge Genocide 21 project, one of those things are we will be polling the so-called elected officials to find out what some of their positions are on some of the issues. What is their position on political prisoners? And what is their position on the 13th Amendment?
That's a good one.
Absolutely.
And this is the kind of stuff.
To backtrack when you were asking me about election time, I think our election time, like for the next May, is in 2024. So, yeah, just to put it out there.
Okay. What about city council? But no, let me see. Oh, yeah, I remember the mayor, because what's his name? The person, Ricky, was running for mayor. So that was 2 years ago, right? So, yeah, that would be 2024, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But what about city council?
I think Marilyn Mosby's seat should be getting ready to become available to you again. That's why they probably doing all that foolishness to her. Yep. So.
Wow. All righty. Well, very, very good. Very good. All right, my sister. Well, again, it's definitely good to have you back with us. Haven't talked to you in a while, and it's always wonderful to be able to conversate with you and to just, you know, continue to build and share. So again, you're not sure. You did mention what you're going to be doing on Wednesday. So you're just going to send me the address so that, you know, we're going to try to see if we can make it out to D.C. on Wednesday. And if so, we'll come that way. We've been waiting for a report from the students. We reached out to their lawyer. So we should be hearing back from him very soon. We just contacted him yesterday. We just got his information and contacted him yesterday. So we should be, hearing back from him, I guess, on Monday. And we'll be able to go from there.
They kind of remind me of when I was so amazed and impressed by John Hopkins' student set in. And that was the longest one. And I love the way they had the demands. And I think that set the precedent, that set the stage for all these different universities to be like, look, we ain't got to take this foolishness. You know, so I definitely give John Hopkins students a big shout out right now because I love the fact of what they did. And I love the fact that when they did their set in, that everybody, like, people, and it started making, like, national news. They actually put my brother's name in the spotlight. They actually put, they were saying justice for Tyrone West. They say no to ICE and say no to private policing. And I love that. And they made their three demands, and they were not playing. So, yes. And that's why I like, even though we all go through different things, but it's like each one teaches one, you know? So
And then
our big powerful, and I never forget, it was our 300 West Ramsey, where we were on Greenmount Avenue, and we had over 3,000 people walk from Greenmount Avenue to John Hopkins University, and we had all of the different universities around the world, including them as well, to watch what we were doing. They was giving them big shout-outs and everything. That's the night I got attacked by it was this white racist guy standing by my car. Thank God somebody walked me out there. I believe the police sent them because as soon as the people were walking to my car, we noticed that a city police officer car saw us and then busted U-turn and took off really fast the other way. And then as I'm going where my car was parked by these, like, trees and where we were started to protest at, because we had started on Greenmount, but then I rode my car and we, like, did a speech over there by, like, this little park or whatever. And long story short, there was a white man yelling racist things at me and the group, and he wound up swinging on two women. Including the reporter. So, yeah.
Wow.
And then the crazy thing was, he tried to lie and say we started the attack, but the thing where he messed up, he didn't know that I had a ex-police officer with me that was actually right there to witness. Shout out to Officer Pastor Steve Turner, who's now a minister, and I'll let you meet Pastor Steve Turner already, because we say he could be a comedian, he's so funny, but he was actually with me. Yeah, he was here, so funny, but he was actually with me, and shout out to him, but he was actually with me, and he went, when they tried to call the police on us, he was like, hold up, I was with them, and they were like, who are you, and he showed his little officer, he was like, I used to be a police officer, my name is blah, 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 and he couldn't lie, because he had one of them, and he saw it, like he said, I seen the cop, so he gave it, and then they let that part go, but I'm thinking in my mind, like, what if I went ahead of off-duty officer come and testify at West Wednesday and do the setting with us, we probably would have been screwed. They probably would have lied and made some stuff up to get me jammed up. So it's real.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, like I said, the time is now here. The time has come, and we are now going to see for once and for all what needs to be seen. I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened before because, you know, when you read some of the literature and some of the information from some of our ancestors, clearly they saw some of what we're talking about right now. They saw it, and it's just that periods of time come where it just heightens, you know, and so we're now at that time period where the visibility, the understanding, the comprehension of certain things is now heightened. It's now at a point where you just going to understand some stuff, whether you like it or not. Again, I think the COVID thing has had its
certain, you know, downfalls, if you may, but it also has, I think, kind of helped some stuff too, you know. And, and with this, see, let me just ask this question, Sister Tawana, because one of the things that we are organizing as we go and get ready for next year, MWM25, we're really looking at the future, the next 5 years, and with that, organizing in such a way that we have certain kind of stable things in our community. And so with that said, one of the things that we're working on here for Philly, and we're going to be going to Detroit and Chicago in a couple of weeks, and that is something that we call Black Communities United. But with that, it is the Black Community Emergency Response and Preparedness Program. Meaning, do you have in your community anywhere in Baltimore an emergency response and preparedness kind of program for the people? Is somebody doing that? That you know of?
Well, hold on. So we do kind of have something like that. And we had it in place ever since the uprise. And it's pretty much like they teach us. And I want to connect you to the sister, too. I got to find her number in my phone. But, you know, they provide, like, they teach you how to, like, resist against the cops. And not only that, they also, like, have medics out. Like, so we have, like, real big, huge protests. They actually come out and support. And we have people that does, like, bail watch type of thing. So if you get arrested, they'll help bail you out. So if that's what you're talking about, so in that category, we do have that.
Yeah.
And they teach them how to, like, they also teach them how to fight, too.
Right. No, that yeah. would, and that's a part of it, but that we call more, we put that more in the category of crisis intervention.
Okay.
Emergency
okay.
preparedness and response in this regard is, say, for example, the COVID thing, meaning if for whatever reason, say there's a severe storm or let's say there is a fire in the community that really, you know, goes out of control. Or let's say for whatever reason, the water in a block gets shut off. And nobody on that block gets water or electric. My point is COVID should have shown people how vulnerable we are in all of our communities all over the country. And so to have our own emergency response and preparedness plan and program is essential. So one of the things that MWM has... Right. Yeah. And so one of the things that MWM has done is we've done that. We've put that together, and this is another reason why we're reaching out to veterans and others that have those kind of capabilities so that our people will know what to do in case of certain types of emergencies. So we've already begun to reach out to some of the Black businesses in our community, well, in many in our community, but Black businesses that may have the capability to store X amount of cases of water or toilet paper or alcohol or bleach. Because remember, we just went through that. And if people can remember, for a couple of weeks there, you couldn't even get that stuff. For a couple of weeks, the stores was closed. And then after they opened, you was limited in getting what you could, certain items you were limited. So have we not learned some stuff yet?
Right.
I mean, that's a rhetorical question because we already know. Because everywhere that I've gone and asked people, is there like an emergency response thing that y'all working with? The answer has been no. After all of this, we haven't developed anything. Most communities that I've gone to so far have not anything in place that encourages our people to have peroxide, alcohol, bleach, some extra water, and a few and Band-Aids, you know, just a few things that you should have in your house at all times.
Right.
At all times.
But that needs to be, you know, really pushed out there. And I'm looking at these groups and organizations, Sister Tawanda, that get these 501c3s and their little grant money and stuff. And I'm like, y'all doing what?
Right.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Basic fundamentals. Basic.
Mm-hmm.
That's emergency response and preparedness stuff. I mean, it's just amazing to me. But again, this is Showtime. If folks in your community, particularly the ones that are getting them grants, if they by now have not been able to say what I just said, then you already know what they're about. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a jump out there a little further and say, some of these churches also are negligent. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. See? Because they have both the means and the space for some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not good, but this is where we're at. This is what's really going on. And again, if after 2 years, if folks have not said, well, you know, this is what we have available, this is what we're doing in regards to emergency stuff, then y'all know what's going on. Sad, but it's true. All right, my sister. Well, moving right along. Our work is cut out for us, needless to say. All right, family, listen, right. We're going to get ready to close out. But before we do, once again, if you have a question or a comment, something you want to share with us, you got an event coming up or anything else, please feel free to press 1 now. And again, we will give you the opportunity to share some information or to give your comment or what have you. We talked with our sister Tawanda Jones, and of course it's been wonderful to have her with us. We haven't had her for a while, so it's always good to have her in the house. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to remind everyone, of course, that Sister Keisha, of course, they're doing their Thorough Black Talk every Thursday. You can check them out from 8 to 10 on YouTube. Wonderful, wonderful information there. And I did get a recent Community Cop YouTube video as well, so you can go check out the latest edition of Community Cop. And, of course, Brother Lee Robinson, he comes on Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so those are some of the folks that we are connected with in our network. All right, my sister, well, I'm going to go back to you and get your closing comments for tonight, and then we're going to get ready to close out.
Awesome. So real quick, I just got one question. Have you heard from my mm-hmm. sister, Mama Condi? Because I'm so used to her calling in the show. She got that
I haven't.
Voice.
I haven't, and I did call her. I called her twice, and mm-hmm. I was not able to get through to her. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I need to do that again, Sister Tawanda. But, yeah, I did call her twice, and she did mention the last.
If you hear from her, please let her know I say I love her and tell her hello.
I sure will. Yeah, the last time she was on, she mentioned, you know, that there had been some kind of difficulty, and I called her like a few days after that, and then again, like I said, and haven't been able to get through to her. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I will definitely reach out to her again, because, you know, we need to make sure we stay abreast of, particularly of our elders, but all of our people, mm-hmm. but definitely our elders. Yeah,
yes.
I will get right on that.
Thank you. Right. Well, yeah, so first of all, sis, I want to thank you again for all the work that you do. Thank you for opening up this beautiful podcast and giving me time. And also, I just want to close out by just saying, like, if anybody can help and with anything, because again, I'm trying to get my sister, who lost her brother. He was murdered in the house, and his children saw that, and they are still living in that home, and we're just trying to get them relocated. And any amount is good. So if anybody can donate anything, please, I'm going to repeat, and I'm going to give you the Cash App information again. The Cash App information is big. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head, but it's Big Angie 23, $ Big Angie 23. I believe that's it. I'm trying to search through my messages, but yeah, so if you can help out, any amount would be great. And then also remember, guys, every Tuesday is $2 Tuesday for our sister Queen, who does not have any grant money, no hush money, no type of money. You know,
right.
And she's doing, she's putting her body on the line. Like she's just saying, she's going to come and try to support people from Howard, you know, in Howard. And literally, she's coming out of her own pockets to get in. Then she even said if she comes through, she's doing her next stop will be from D.C. to Bemidji. And I know because nobody supports me, like, and with no CK1 grants or whatever they call it. You know, I, you know, my own pockets, you know, with, you know. So just like let's just support each other. And as we approach the holiday season and Black Friday coming up or whatever, remember, spend black. Give your money black back by spending black on Black Friday. You want to go out there and shop, make sure you support black businesses and make sure you support people like our sister Queen right here, Dr. Empress P, that's putting in real groundwork, boots on the ground. So remember, all skin folks ain't all skin folks. So we just got to look out for each other in whatever way we can. Remember to live to love, love to live. I love you all. Let's just keep our fists in the air and keep our eyes on the prize, and let's just fight. And that's just trying to uplift each other and just keep it moving. And we can't be intimidated. And last but not least, I want to let everybody know my cousin Tavon Anderson was murdered on July the 20th, literally an hour later after I was on the news. I was on the news on the 19th around 11:30, and literally, I'm sorry, 35 minutes later, my cousin was ambushed in his car, and he was one of the biggest supporters of West Wednesday, fighting for his big cousin Tyrone West, and that was the hardest West Wednesday that I ever had to do. Literally, after I cried my eyes all day, when I got that call that nobody wanted to hear, when he got gunned down, his sister called me, and I was tore up from the floor up. And since then, I lost my grandmother, but the fight continues. So if I can do it, anybody can. Anybody can. And don't let these enemies out here stop you, because the enemy do come to kill and destroy. But just remember, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We just got to keep it moving, keep loving, and keep fighting. It was hard for me to get on and do a West Wednesday online after crying my eyes out. But I told the enemy it would not win. And to this day, me and my family still seeking answers for what happened to my cousin Tavon Anderson. I'm lifting his name up in the atmosphere right now. So just keep my family in prayers. Thank you. And whenever I can talk about what happened to my cousin, I'm telling you, I'm going off. I'm telling you, everywhere going to be bleak, bleak, bleak. So I'm just giving y'all my warning right now, because what they're doing to my family is very disrespectful and very heartbreaking. Again, after they murdered my brother, Tyrone West. Could that be the reason why my cousin is dead? Who knows? But like I said, I always say I'm starting at the pig's house first. So thank you, guys. I love you. I didn't mean to take up too much of time, but I love you, my sister, Queen. Love you, love you, love you.
I'm black at you, and you ain't take up no time. I mean, you on time, and that's the wonderful thing, sister. So we appreciate you, and definitely thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight. Family, I want to just remind everyone before we close out, we're going to close out with Mumia Abu-Jamal, by the way. But again, I want to make sure that everyone remembers our political prisoners. Listen, again, for those who say they're about black liberation and justice and all of that, certainly the release of our political prisoners who
are primarily at this point in time, you know, over 65. You know, some of them are in their 80s. So y'all need to be doing something. I mean, again, you can go to the Jericho website and get information about all of the political prisoners, okay? Do that, and I'm sure you will feel a little better about some things because that needs to happen. Again, this is a pre-salute to our Black veterans, and we want to just share with you a little bit of sidebar about the 369th Infantry Regiment, also known as the Harlem Hellfighters. You know, again, family, our people served in this gosh darn government. This was 1919, World War I. This was a highly recognized infantry in the Army component known, again, as the Harlem Hellfighters. Can you imagine what they went through? Not just in terms of fighting, but what they went through in terms of this institutionalized racism, and that puts it mildly. Again, these are some things we're going to talk about on Wednesday, November the 10th. We're doing a special discussion on Zoom. It's the day before Veterans Day, and we're going to raise some questions about what we can do today with our Black veterans. We're going to raise the questions about why should we continue to encourage our young folks to join the military, particularly when we know that a lot of them are doing it so that they can go to college and not be caught up with that debt. We need to have that conversation. Is this something that we want to continue to have our young folks to think about doing, meaning joining the military? The other thing that we're going to be talking about, too, is, as we mentioned earlier, is it time that we have our own security forces in our community for our people? Well, again, these are some of the things we're going to talk about on Wednesday, November the 10th at 8 o'clock. This is a session for the veterans, the Black veterans, and any of our people in the community that want to be involved in that conversation. This is a part of our Recharge Genocide 21 project. And if you want more information, you can, of course, email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can text us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-02. All right, my sister, again, I thank you much. Love you even more. And I definitely hope to see you on Wednesday.
Looking forward, my queen. Looking forward.
All right. All right, family, again, as I mentioned, we're going to close out with Mumia Abu-Jamal. Remember, Sundi Ada Akoli, our brother, Iman Jamil Alamin, and, of course, Dr. Matulu Shakur are just a few of our political prisoners. Let's do something. Let's write to them. Let's, of course, you know, do some other kind of activity, but go to the Jericho Movement website, and you'll get a lot of good information. At any rate, again, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. Peace out.
Room 3. Black nationalist revolutionary leader Russell Maroon Schultz is home. After 49 years in prison and now suffering from stage 4 cancer, Russell Maroon Schultz is now resting with his family, trying to salvage his ebbing strength. Maroon, a member of the Black Unity Council, an affiliate of the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army, spent over 30 years in the hole for daring to try to organize other prisoners. He recently won release from the hole after a United Nations expert on violations of international law, Juan Mendez. Maroon, free. Black Black nationalist revolutionary leader, Russell Maroon Schultz, is home. After 49 years in prison and now suffering from stage 4 cancer, Russell Maroon Schultz is now resting with his family, trying to salvage his ebbing strength. Maroon, a member of the Black Unity Council, an affiliate of the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army, spent over 30 years in the hole for daring to try to organize other prisoners. He recently won release from the hole after a United Nations expert on violations of international law, Juan Mendez, determined that prolonged periods of imprisonment in the hole constituted torture. Mendez submitted such a report in Maroon's civil action. Maroon has taught generations of men about Black and street history. His release came after his lawyers filed a petition for compassionate release. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.